Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, The Beatitudes of Jesus. We know that many people say, as they look in Matthew chapter 5, some scholars say there is 8 Beatitudes. Some say there are 9. And I have heard of somebody even saying there is 10. But we entitled the message, The Beatitudes, because it is not all the blessings that he mentioned in chapter 5 that is really the to be attitudes that Jesus is talking about. It came to my mind that the Bible have a lot of sets of sevens. It was very common for the biblical writers to emphasize the number 7. Sometimes those lists have 7, sometimes those lists have 10. In this case, I started analyzing the so-called Beatitudes, as we find in Matthew chapter 5, and I realized here there are very 7 uniques, a set of 7 unique Beatitudes. And those 7 Beatitudes of Jesus is what we will be talking about today. The question is, in your versions of the Bible that you have in your hand, it says blessed. And we use in our among ourselves the word blessed a lot. We talk about blessed, but do we really understand on the biblical concept what blessed means, to be blessed? So what does it mean to be blessed? The Greek word for blessed used in the Beatitudes of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 is Makarios. By the way, the name Makarios became a very popular name among Christians all over the world. There are some parts of the world that is very common to find a young man, a child, be named Makarios. That is in Italian, we saw in Spanish, Portuguese, and other Slavic languages, as well as other English languages, they use the Makarios. Because I can imagine a mother holding her baby boy or a father holding their baby boy and says, you know what, I want to name him blessed because we're blessed by this gift that the Lord has granted to us. So it makes sense to name a person, a young man, Makarios. Many understand Jesus' word blessed as simply mean happy. And I have no doubt that many people use the name Makarios for their children as simply meaning they want to have a happy child. But that's incorrect, because Makarios is more than just being happy. Makarios, when it says being blessed, then it means that it is beyond just typical happiness that people describe. In ancient Greek times, the word Makarios was used to refer to their pagan gods. Oh yes, the blessed ones were the gods. They had achieved, the gods. They have achieved a state of happiness and contentment in life that was beyond the cares, the labors, and even death. The blessed ones were immortal beings who lived in some other world, away from the cares and problems of people like you and I. In Greek paganism, Makarios also took a second meaning. It referred to the dead. The blessed ones were also humans who, according to this pagan teaching, through death had achieved or had reached the other world, the world of the gods. This diabolical heresy was eventually copped by the Roman Church and forced into Christianity. At the present time, all unbiblical, and I call unbiblical religions around the world, being Christian or not Christian, if they call themselves, whatever they call themselves, they all have embraced this satanic heresy. Finally, in Greek usage, Makarios came to refer to the elite, the upper class of our society. You know those that are, that have a lot of gold on their ears and pearls on their necks and Rolex on their arms and all, they dress like gods. Just like the Greek gods. Today, in our society, those that are very wealthy receive the same attention as if they were God. They even call themselves with celebrity, you know, meaning sky, heaven. They call themselves stars. So those people, because of what they have, the power that they have, or the possessions they have, and because they don't care the normal problems that we, the normal people, or the called the simple people have, folks like you and I, we, the simple people, we constantly struggle for worries about our labor, about what we're going to eat, how we're going to dress, but not them. So to be blessed in their understanding, you have to be very rich and very powerful. Please note that according to the Greek pagan, the pagans, to be blessed, one had to be God. And that God is G-O-D and is small. You know, not in capitals. When this word Makarios was used in the Greek translation of the first portion of the Bible, which some people call the Old Testament, it took on another meaning. It referred to the results of one choosing right living or righteousness instead of evil. If you made right choices in life, you were blessed, according to the first portion of the Bible. Being blessed meant to receive earthly material as compensation for your good choices. If you were with God, if you were looking for righteousness, so everything that you did or obtained was blessed by God. So if you were a young man, if you got a good wife, you were blessed. If you had many children, you were blessed. Because children those days, because of the labor and because the safety, the family that had many children, they were blessed. They were blessed with riches, honor, wisdom, beauty, good health, and everything else. Those were the things considered to be a blessing. So now you look the other side. Those that did not have those things, they thought themselves as not being blessed. In all these meanings, the blessed ones lived in a higher level than the rest of the population. So Jesus' audience were very familiar with all these meanings for the word Makarios. The Greeks have a lot of influence on the culture of Jesus' time. Even today, we still have a lot of Greeks in our English language. We have a lot of terminologies, concepts that have never left. It stays always with us. So Jesus used the Beatitudes, the Beatitudes, to teach his disciples and all his followers throughout the centuries what was, and it still is, the right attitude of someone who wants to be part of God's kingdom. Matthew 5, 1 and 2, as Brother Kenan read, "And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." Now, doesn't this call your attention to long time ago, an event that took place when Jesus also climbed the mountain and called his disciple named Moses to come. And he opened his mouth and 10 beautiful and healing and blessed words came out of his mouth. Words of life. So here's Jesus again, sitting, going up in the mountain, sit down and open his mouth and bringing words of life. Jesus used this word, the word blessed, in a totally different way than everybody else used in his time. It is not the elite who are blessed, according to Jesus this time. It is not the rich and powerful who are blessed this time. Yeah, they could be blessed too, but it's not only them. It doesn't, the word blessed, it doesn't belong to a special group by what they have, but what they must be. The emphasis is about being blessed. It is not the dead who are blessed. It is not the gods who are blessed. Rather, Jesus pronounces blessed the poor in spirit, the hungry for righteousness, the thirsty, the meek, the mourning, the peacemaker, not the troublemakers, the peacemakers. Throughout the history of his word, of this particular word, Makarios, it had always been the other people who were considered blessed. But now our Lord reveals that the real blessed ones are those who choose to submit to his redemptive grace. And brothers and sisters, without any delay, let's get into the 7 to be attitudes to those who really seek to be blessed. And I hope this morning, as you join this service, as you listen to God's word, it is your firm commitment to be blessed, to have and to become a person, a follower of Christ with the be attitudes of Jesus. So first one, verse 3 of chapter 5. Please open your Bibles. Please open your Bibles. Please follow and take a pen, because I want you to, maybe you should make notes on your Bible. And later on you can revisit. So please pick up your Bibles. Whatever version of the Bible you have, open in Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And as we go through this message, think about that moment when Jesus was also with Moses and he opened his mouth and the words of life came. So here is Jesus, right on the mountain. He opened his mouth. And this is what he said in verse 3, as Matthew put it, wrote it down. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. First time I read this, when I first read the Bible, I was 16 years old, I said, blessed are the poor. There's nothing happy about being poor. And believe me, I have been poor all my life in that sense, as far as possessions. So I know there's nothing funny about being poor. When it's time for you to eat and you have nothing to eat, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, it's not fun to be blessed. I can see a person who's saying, I'm poor and I don't feel blessed at all. But Jesus was not talking about poor in a matter of possessions. And by the way, some people take this twist this verse around and tell people that, oh, we must give everything to all our possessions to the poor, to others, because we need to be poor in order to be blessed. Jesus is not talking about being poor, having nothing in order to be blessed. That's not what Jesus actually is saying. So let's examine what Jesus really meant when he says the poor in spirit. When Jesus says poor in spirit, he's describing those who seek God because of their awareness of their great need for him. It is not talk about material things. It talk about the need to be with God, the need of God. Those that are saying, I need more. I need more. I don't have enough of God. I need more. I have met many people in my life And I'm very praise God for that. I've met many people in my life that were always seeking more of God. They never could have enough of God. Just the same energy that some people use sometimes to acquire possessions, the pouring spirit applies the same commitment to acquire more of God. They are constantly on the word. They are constantly seeking more and more. The Bereans are an example. They were hungry for the word. Pouring spirit typically manifests itself in those that are humble, in those that are willing to serve, and those that are dependent on God's grace and provision all the time. Those that do not look into their own possessions and say, I don't need God. But those that are constantly faithful to God, they surrender everything to God. Those are the ones who will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Luke 18, verse 13. By the way, when I do not mention the translation, that means it's the New King James Version. All right? Luke 18, verse 13. And the tax collector, by the way, the tax collector were rich people. They were not poor in the sense of material things. And the tax collector, he stand afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. That is a poor in spirit. A person who had possessions, but yet he was aware that he needs God more than anybody else because he was just a sinner. Isaiah 66 verse 2, for all those things my hand has made and all those things exist, God saying, but on this one, I can see God pointing to you, my brother and sister, just to you, and say, but on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Yeah, look at it. That is the one. Matthew 6, verse 1, New Century Version. Be careful. When you do good things, don't go up and play the trumpet and call everybody attention to yourself. It says, no. Don't do things so that people can see the things that you do. That should not be the purpose of how you do. And Matthew, Jesus here continues, says, if you do that, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So people think that when we do things, we should do in secret. No. That's not what the Bible is saying. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, New Century Version, Paul says this, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide, the reason why you do it. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. Don't be too quick to put your name on top of the list. If somebody puts your name there, let them do it by themselves, but do not motivate people to believe that all that you do is to bring glory to yourself. And Jesus said this in the same sermon on the mountain, verse 16. Let your light be shining before men. Okay, in other words, it is we need to show God's works through us. We do. He says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So the problem is not let people see your work. Actually, people need, because that's how we set an example. People look at us and desire to do exactly what we do. So the problem is when we do things, you are to bring attention to ourselves instead of bringing attention to God. Let your faithfulness, my brothers and sisters, be a testimony before your brothers and sisters. that you love God with all your heart, therefore your works is to glorify Him and nobody else. Now the second blessed, the to be attitude. Jesus in verse 4, He says, blessed are those who mourn. How can you be blessed? How can you be happy when you are crying? When you're in pain? He says, for they shall be comforted. Being profoundly sorry for the pain we cause to others, as well as to our own pain, is a blessing when we have, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the ability to feel sorry for the pain we cause to others, as well as other circumstances being caused to us. In other words, if we are sensitive enough for the needs of others, if we have compassion, God will show the same compassion to us, and He will be the one who will put His arm around us, and He will comfort us. Romans chapter 12, verse 15, and again, if I don't mention the translation, it's because it's the New King James. Paul says this, rejoice with those who rejoice. Okay, that is part is not that difficult. But then he says, and weep with those that weep. Mourn with those that mourn. Feel compassionate. Allow people to know that you are with them. That you share their feelings, or even it's joy, or when it's pain. Psalms 34, verse 18. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Oh yes, my brother and sister, when pain comes in your way, when you have reasons to be mourning, don't think that you're doing it by yourself, because God is standing right beside you, because He says He are the one who looks about the broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. He's the one who saves them. Psalms 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. The healer will take care of your wounds. That being mental, that being physical, the Lord will take care. And I like this verse very much. My daughter has a song that she sings, No More Nights. And every time she sings, I think about this verse, Revelation 21, verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more mourning, no more pain. There shall be no more pain, for former things have passed away. Amen. The time is coming. When all this pain, all this discomfort that we suffer in this world because of sin will be taken away forever. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, there is a text that reminds me of an experience that I had as a pastor. I was in this cemetery, beautiful place, very green, a lot of flowers, and we were conducting a service for a beloved sister that passed away. And I shouldn't say passed away, but just fall into her sleep and is waiting for the Lord to come. But right there in that same cemetery, there was a hill a few yards away. And there was, at that time, and there was a distance. But because they were on top of the hill, the sound traveled. And I think the funeral people there in that cemetery, they thought there was not going to be a problem between having two ceremonies at the same time, because one was down, another one was far away in the hill. But what they did not realize is that the sounds travel when you speak on a hill, just like Jesus spoke many times in the hill, the sound travels. And here we are having this service and the singing, because the person who was being buried at that location was a beloved sister in Christ. So we were all singing like we were actually almost like celebrated with some pain, but we still have so much hope and confidence on the promise that God has made about our lives, our death, which is not death, it's just a fall asleep. There are, our attitude towards the whole event was different, but not in that hill. In that hill, the people are crying, they are yelling. It looks like it was the end for them. And in a moment, I realize what is making the difference. And then when I read this verse, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, it makes sense. Why the difference? It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant. Talk to the brothers and sisters that believes on the resurrection. It says, brothers and sisters, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. You know, when you're not certain about what happens to those that die, you may act like there's no hope. But to those who believe in God, to those believing have accepted Jesus Christ, death is just a sleep. Now, number three, the to be attitude. Another attitude that we must have. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Some people think that meek is the coward. Meek is the weak. No, meek is not. Meek actually is one of the strongest people that ever lived are the meek ones, because they demonstrate self-control at all times. That's the meek. The meek is not weak. The difference between meek and weak is that in meek, there is strength. In weak, strength is not present. Proverbs 8, verse 13, New Living Translation. All who fear the Lord will hate evil with gusto. Therefore, I hate pride, the Lord says, and arrogance, and corruption, and perverse speech. James 4, verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boast is evil. Remember, that's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven all with all his demons with him, was arrogance, pride, boasting is evil. Scripture tells us. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, your younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. In verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. James 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. If you are standing up, let the Lord be the one who puts you up and holds you up. Now, the fourth to be attitude. Blessed are the hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Longing to be holy, longing to be pure, just like Jesus Christ. That is the hungry, that's the thirst that we all must have. We must look like our Heavenly Father. Make every effort not to look like a Christmas tree, but to look like the Almighty God. Let His image to be restored in everything we do, our words, our walking, our choices, everything we choose to do in this life. Let us all copy, imitate the Son of God. Let's be like Abba in everything we choose to do in this life. Proverbs 8:13, New Living Translation says, all who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I have clearly hate pride, arrogance, as we said this before. John 4:4, it says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him," Jesus Christ speaking, "will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him or her will become in him and her a fount of water springing up into everlasting life." As Jesus Christ also says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." How many times I have seen people running, trying to grab things, try to have more of it. It almost looked like a crazy, you know, Black Friday, when the people go and grab the things, and they are, it looks like their eyes are about to pump out of their heads, so they are so desperate to grab more stuff. And as they try to run to the register, they drop things and they go back and catch, and they realize, "Oh, I wish I'd be an octopus because two arms are not enough for me to carry all the stuff that I need." Yeah, I should name them the octopus. You know, the people that try to have so many arms, they try to grab everything. And yet, Jesus Christ tells us, all that you have to do is set your mind on God and his righteousness. And then all the things that you have, all the things that you need, it will be all added to you. But in order for that to take place, we must trust. We must put God first. In God we trust, people say. And all that they do is look to the dollar. That's the God they are talking about. Matthew 6:35, Jesus says, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never be hungry. And he who believes in me shall never be thirsty." Now the number 5B attitude, according to Jesus. Verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Some people pray the Lord's Prayer without realizing that they actually bring a curse upon themselves, because it says, "Forgive us as we forgive others that have trespassed against us." Being willing to look beyond your deeds to be able to see your needs. Let me repeat. To be merciful are the ones who are willing to look beyond the deeds in order to see and provide for the needs of those that can be affected by your own actions. Matthew 6:14-15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, their wrongdoing against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." And brothers and sisters, think about this, your spouses, your children, your church members. Oh yes, your pastor, your church officers, your president, even when they make bad decisions. He says, "For if you are willing to forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Not because he doesn't want to, but because he won't be able to. Because whatever we want is whatever we want for others is the same thing we get for ourselves. Psalms 145:9, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works." Luke 6:36, "Therefore be merciful, brothers and sisters, just as your Father also is merciful." Number 6, B, attitude. Verse 8, Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Do you know why they shall see God? Because the pure in heart is the one who has holiness in their lives And those who have holiness in their lives, they are like God, and they'll be able to see God, being unconditionally sincere in your devotion to God. In Mark 10, verse 13 and 14, Mark writes down an incident that took place. And by the way, this happens in church. This happens in my ministry, have happened many times. How many times I have seen parents who their children wants to make a decision for Christ, and they said, no, not yet, because I know that sometimes you lie, sometimes you're mean to your brother, and sometimes you're mean to your sister, and I know that you're not prepared. So the parents block their children from making such a decision. And then they get a little older, then they don't want anything to do with religion anymore. And then the parents are walking up behind them, begging them, trying to bribe them to be baptized, and they don't want anything to do with church anymore. Because when the Spirit knocked, the child says, yes, here I am. And the parents said, nah, not yet. So Mark 10, 13, 14, he says, then they brought little children to him, Jesus Christ. And he, so that he might touch them, lay his hands on their heads and bless them. But the disciples rebuked those little noisemakers, get them out of here, push them out. The Lord has more important things to do. But Jesus saw that, and he was displeased, greatly displeased, this version says, and said to them, to the disciples, let the children, let the little ones come to me, and do not block them, do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now, the impure ones who are trying to block the pure ones to come to Christ. That happens all the time, doesn't it? Even among grown-ups. Luke 18, verse 17 says, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child who will by no means enter the kingdom. Matthew 18, 3 and 4. And said, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, as pure as they are, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And finally, my brothers and sisters, the number 7, to be attitude. That those that will be to the kingdom, those that are called themselves blessed, those that are actually blessed, must have. Verse 9 of Matthew 5. For they shall be called the sons and daughters of God, promoting peace without compromise is very important. In every single place, every society, there are those who are investing in peace, making peace. And there are always those that are troublemakers. So if the peacemakers are called the sons of God, the troublemakers must be the sons of darkness. Yes, the troublemakers are the sons of darkness. Since Satan started to create trouble in heaven, all the troublemakers, I always, after one thing, just destruction, confusion, betrayal, all sorts of negativity is brought by those that wants to disrupt unity in the body of Christ. Isaiah 9 verse 6, it tells this. Remember we talk about the children being pure. It says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a pure one is born. Unto us a son is given. The one who's going to inherit the kingdom, the children. It says, unto us, it's talking about Jesus Christ, of course. And the government will be, says, the government will be upon his shoulder. So unless you want to be like a child, you're going to be in heaven. Those are the ones who are given authority in the kingdom. Those that are like a child. And Jesus talking, continued talking about Jesus, says, and his name will be called. And there it says, wonderful. And by the way, since in Hebrew, there's no comma, I believe this was a list of 7 titles also. And this is the way I divide it. You can, that's your particular choice how you make it, but I divide like this. Number 1, wonderful. Number 2, counselor. Number 3, mighty. Number 4, God. Number 5, everlasting. Number 6, Abba. Number 7, the Prince of Peace, the Peacemaker. Yes, the seven bless or beatitude closes with the peacemakers, as well as the list in Isaiah 9 verse 6 who talk about the mission of Jesus Christ. Yes, he's the peacemaker, he's the Prince of Peace. Romans 12 verse 18, if it is possible, Paul says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all human beings. And now, James, he has the brother of Jesus, he wrote in chapter 3, verse 17, 18, looks like he was looking into the Beatitudes, the 7 Beatitudes, and he put all of them together in these 2 verses. He has write this down. Make sure that you follow me. In James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Remember the pure heart? Then peaceable. Yes, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. These beatitudes are our kingdom's, our King of Kings guidelines for you and I, brothers and sisters, for those who are seeking to be in his kingdom, those who are seeking to be blessed. They are more than just great divine principles to live by. And you cannot have one and not have the other one. The only one you can actually be having the right attitude if you have all 7 of them. You cannot have one and not have the other. They are only effective if they become all part of what you are. Then you shall see God, then you shall be blessed, then you will be in his kingdom. Not then by starting from here, from now, because the kingdom already has started in your heart the moment that you accept Christ and surrender your attitudes to him so he can mold your attitudes according to one who really are best. These principles, they are not something just for us to reflect upon, but it's something to be part of what we are. They are not another of God's ways to get us to know how we must be in order to be like him, but they are God's way to shape us back, to redeem us back to his image. The Beatitudes are part of the process through which Abba speaks to us now what he wants us to be, not only now, but for always. Remember, blessed are. Jesus did not say, blessed will be. Blessed will be. The Beatitudes are to be active now, not then. It is now that the kingdom of God has started on the heart of those that he is blessing. It is my prayer this morning, actually this afternoon, it is my prayer that every one of you will be reshaped by the holy hands of Abba and shaped you into a citizen of his eternal kingdom. May you truly be blessed today. as the Lord put all those beatitudes in your heart and make you a complete image of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. In His name, I ask those blessings upon you. And I hope today and forever you will be truly blessed. God bless.